Welcome, everyone. I will call this remote hearing of the Local Government Division to order. Today is March 17th, 2021. This meeting is held in accordance of Rule 10.01, which was passed and allows us to have the remote hearings. All remote hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information. The clerk will now take the attendance. Josh, if you would take the roll, please.
Sure would help. It sure would help to have a microphone for that. So here we go. Representative Mason.
Present.
Representative Elkins.
Present.
Representative Byrd.
Present.
Representative Bolden.
Present.
Representative Quam.
Present.
Representative Hewitt.
Present.
Representative Mecklen. Representative Olson.
Present.
Representative Joachim.
Present.
Representative Mecklen.
Present.
We have all members present.
Thank you. A quorum is present. The next item on the agenda will be the minutes for Wednesday, March 10th. And Representative Quam, have you read the minutes?
I would move the minutes.
Thank you. All those in favor of accepting the minutes as written, please say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, the minutes stand approved as written. Thank you so much. Next, we are going to hear House File 89, which is Representative Elkins' bill. And if you would proceed to give us the background on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this is the this year's version of the ranked choice voting bill. So you'll recall in the last session we heard a bill that would enable local units of government, cities, counties, school boards to, including statutory cities, to use ranked choice voting to conduct their local elections. At this point, we have five cities, all charter cities, that have taken that option. At the present time, only charter cities have that ability. And so Minneapolis, St. Paul, St. Louis Park, Minnetonka, and Bloomington have all adopted ranked choice voting and will be using it in this year's elections. So my home city, Bloomington, is currently working out their guidelines and procedures right now. So those provisions remain in this year's bill as well. And one of the big benefits that would be provided by the bill would be additional guidance about, you know, standardized ways of designing a ranked choice ballot during a local election. The other big thing is that right now, all of the cities that have adopted, the charter cities which have adopted ranked choice voting to this point, are all cities that hold their municipal elections during odd numbered years, so that there are only local elections on the ballot. So the problem becomes when a city that holds its elections in even years, including a charter city, wants to use ranked choice voting in its municipal election. And it becomes somewhat problematic under current law for a ballot to design that has the old way and the new ranked choice way on the same ballot for different races. So one of our big goals with this bill this year is to provide, first of all, the Secretary of State to perform a rulemaking, adopt a standardized method for holding these elections, including a standardized guidance on from the design of the ballot, and also giving them the ability to certify the voting machine so that the process can be completely automated. Whereas right now, it's a combination of taking the data off of the voting systems, and in some cases still using spreadsheets to do the actual tabulation of the ranking of the votes. Because pretty much all of the large charter cities that are authorized to do ranked choice voting are doing it at this point. And all of the local government provisions are still very important. But we really can't proceed much further with ranked choice voting without extending it to other races at this point as well. I mean, we have enough experience from Minneapolis, St. Paul, St. Louis Park actually have run elections using ranked choicing in the case of Minneapolis and St. Paul for several years. We have enough experience under our belt that we know what we need to do to take the next steps. And so the bill also would extend ranked choice voting to statewide offices, including ours. And one of the big benefits of that would be is that that ranked choice voting is, among other things, the antidote to bullet balloting, which is very important to school boards as much as anything else. And it also is the antidote to having third-party candidacies on the ballot that are only there to drain ballots off of the away from the tickets being offered by one of the two largest parties. I shouldn't say major party because we've got four of them technically right now. The bill does extend the ranked choice voting to our races, other statewide and congressional races as well. So with that, I think we'd like to proceed to testifiers. And I think the first person that we want to call upon is Kim Nelson, the mayor from Rochester.
Representative Elkins?
Yeah.
I did want to make one disclaimer before we start, and just the fact that this House File 89 was referred to our division by the chair of State Government Finance and Elections Committee. And as announced in the official notice, the bill will be for informational purposes only and then laid over with no action taken today. So yes. I have that. And then also if the testifiers would try to limit their testimony to 3 minutes or less. So proceed. Thank you.
And we're going to discuss the bill here this year. We're going to chew it up and then we'll make a push to pass it next year.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah. Thank you.
So the first person we want to call on to testify is Kim Nelson.
If you would identify yourself and proceed, please.
Madam Chair, I'm not seeing Kim Nelson in the room. So we should move to the second testifier.
Let's go to Kyle from the state of Maine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, to the chair and distinguished members of the committee, I'm Kyle Bailey. I'm the representative, for District 27 in the Maine House of Representatives. I was also the campaign manager for the Committee for Ranked Choice Voting in Maine. And I'm here today to talk about Maine's success with ranked choice voting. Voters have twice voted to support it at the ballot box via statewide referendum. And our legislature has expanded its use to additional elections because of its popularity with voters and our smooth implementation in the state. The impetus for ranked choice voting in Maine is a strong independent spirit, not dissimilar to that of Minnesota. We frequently have independent and minor party candidates on our ballot. And before we had ranked choice voting, this often resulted in so-called spoiler candidates who split the vote and allowed candidates to win with less than a majority, in some cases far less than a majority, and a lot of speculation about the fact that those candidates may actually be opposed by a majority of voters and some polling to support that. I know that Minnesota has a rich tradition of competitive races like we do in Maine, and that some of these problems exist there as well, especially in the 2020 election, which was a banner year for spoiler elections in Minnesota and across the country. Maine has solved this problem permanently by adopting ranked choice voting. We use ranked choice for all state and federal primaries, as well as in federal and presidential races. And what we found from the beginning is that it's gone off without a hitch. The cost to implement ranked choice voting statewide was less than $100,000, a fraction of what was estimated. The winners of elections now have clear majorities, that there's a consensus. The coalition building and issues are first and foremost in races. In 2018, we had probably the most prominent use of ranked choice voting in our state thus far. A Democratic challenger defeated a Republican incumbent in Maine's 2nd Congressional District in the ranked choice voting instant runoff. Similarly, in 2020, Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins won an out-majority with ranked choice voting. For those who oppose it on a partisan level in our state, we found that ranked choice voting doesn't advantage one party over the other. It favors the will of the majority of voters in that district or statewide. It has led to higher voter participation, more civil campaigns, and I'll talk about that in just a moment, and then winners with clear backing of a majority of voters. We built on the shoulders, really, of the successful implementation of ranked choice voting in Minnesota and St. Paul, and the extraordinary work of Gene Massey and Fairvote Minnesota that have done this work for decades, really showing the nation how you do ranked choice voting implementation well, and created a model for the rest of the nation to follow, including in Maine, where we've now implemented ranked choice voting for two statewide general elections and two statewide primary elections. So you have great leaders on the ground there who know how to do the education and many of the technical implementation issues as well, which is a great source of information for our Secretary of State's office and legislators. So I hope that Minnesota will become the first state in the nation to adopt ranked choice voting by the will of the legislature, because I know that these concerns that I raise about a pick one plurality system exists there as well. And really, this reform is an opportunity to give more voice and more choice to voters. And I know that the members of the Minnesota legislature care a great deal about empowering voters and lifting up their voices. And this is a tremendous opportunity to do that with ranked choice voting. One additional comment I'll make, and I alluded to it a moment ago about civility in campaigns. I'll give you an example of how ranked choice voting has worked in our state, my experience as a voter. In 2018, we had a seven-way Democratic primary for the gubernatorial nomination. Under the old system, someone could win with 30 or 35% of the vote. The incentive in that race would have been to perhaps knock out or beat down one of their opposing fellow Democrats in the primary and try to energize their base and turn them out to vote and beat down the others. That was not the case with ranked choice voting in that competitive seven-way Democratic primary. It was a much more collaborative and healthy competition. As a voter, I attended a number of debates, and I listened to the candidates, clearly contrast from one another, but focus on the issues. And for voters, the conversations out in the hallways before and after were not, who are you supporting? Who are you supporting? Oh, I don't like them. You shouldn't support them. There's something bad about them you should know. Instead, the conversation was, who are your top three? Oh, my, the candidate you like the best, they're my third choice. Why? I really love their healthcare policy. I really love their education. It was such a much more positive, collaborative, issue-focused conversation than about personalities and negative partisanship. And that's really a powerful testament that voters really like having not only the having more choice in elections, but being able to have elections that are more about issues and coming together around what the consensus is than driving wedges between us and dividing. And that has been the case here in Maine with ranked choice voting. So thank you for the opportunity to testify on this important issue today and for your consideration of this issue.
Has Kim Nelson come in yet?
Madam Chair, no, I'm not seeing her on the...
Okay. Next, I have Stan Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Stan Lockhart. I'm the former chairman of the Utah Republican Party, and I'm here representing myself in support of House File 89, the measure to expand ranked choice voting in federal, state, and local levels in Minnesota. I'd just like to share the experience that we've had in Utah, which passed the local options for ranked choice voting a law 3 years ago. We had our first election 2 years ago, and two cities were brave enough to opt into this brand new method of an election. In a post-election survey administered by our county clerk, over 80% of the voters not only liked ranked choice voting, but they wanted to use it again. And 87% of candidates in those two elections wanted to use ranked choice voting again. From a principal perspective, Ranked choice voting promotes what I think America's founders had in mind when they created our representative form of government. It creates an informed citizenry, an engaged electorate, an educated voter. And it does that because you're forced to go beyond your first choice. And you have to dig just a little bit deeper as a voter in order to make these choices. And that's good. We want informed voters. From a pragmatic level, it gets rid of many of the games that plurality voting has, like not being able to vote for your favorite candidate because you feel forced to choose between front runners. Or maybe it's vote splitting that takes place on a regular basis. Or maybe it's something that we call the spoiler effect. But it gets rid of many of those games that we have in our current system of election. At a time when our country needs civil, strong debate on all sides of issues, ranked choice voting provides that incentive for candidates to be issues-oriented instead of using character assassination to win the day. Grassroots Republican activists brought ranked choice voting to Utah 25 years ago. And because I was a part of the establishment, I resisted it at all costs. What I've discovered is that we have nothing to be afraid of. Ranked choice voting for a voter is as pure as it comes. It allows a voter to have a fuller expression of their will, which is good. We want them to express their will at the polls. Ranked choice voting, I've determined that it's apolitical. That it's a methodology that if your district is center right, the person who will be elected is likely going to be center right. If your district is center left, your elected person is likely going to be someone who is center left. The voter experience is better and the candidate experience is better. Our system of government is better. I urge you to support this bill, if not this year, then in the future. And we look to Minnesota to lead the nation in this important reform. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm having trouble with my speaker. Thank you very much. And next, Jen Bouchard, if I pronounced that right.
You did.
Oh, thank you. Identify yourself and proceed, please.
Hi, I'm Jen Bouchard. I'm a Minnetonka resident and chair of the Hopkins School Board. And it's such a pleasure to be with all of you this morning to speak in support of House File 89. Particularly the local options component of the bill. So as you may know, nearly 55% of voters in my home city of Minnetonka approved ranked choice voting for our city elections when the option was presented to us on the November 2020 ballot. This definitive show of support for RCV is indicative of our city's desire for more inclusive, less polarizing elections that truly reflect our community's evolving demographics and values. To me, one of the most appealing parts of ranked choice voting is that it promotes collaboration and healthy dialogue amongst diverse candidates, similar to what is possible during a multi-seat school board election. I have some experience with those. This is one of the many benefits that we discussed when the Hopkins School Board unanimously passed a resolution last February, in February 2020, supporting the ranked choice voting local options bill at that time. As a school board member, I've seen firsthand how our local elections directly impact our students and families. Local communities across the state should have the option to choose ranked choice voting if it's right for them, just as we did in Minnetonka last November. Thank you so much for your time this morning and for your continued service to our state.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Kissy Coakley from Minnetonka. Again, if you'll identify yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Kissy Coakley from Minnetonka. Thank you, Representative Elkins and Madam Chair and everyone who's in this meeting today. Thank you for introducing the bill, House Bill 89. As a newly elected city council member in Minnetonka, who is the first African-American who ran and was elected as a city council, I realized then how important ranked choice voting was to me, because as a first-time person who ran for elected seat in Minnetonka, it was pretty difficult and pretty scary to run for just the first time ever doing this. And so I realized how important ranked choice voting is to all of our community, because it allows more people to participate in this process of running for office. It gives more voters more choice and more power. And I was excited when our community adopted ranked choice voting. And we will be using ranked choice voting this coming election in November. So ranked choice voting allowed a more fair, diverse, an inclusive election. One of the things that I realized as I was running, and like I said, the first time ever running in an African-American who made history in Minnetonka, I realized how important it is to make sure that we are bringing a diverse group of folks who are not afraid to run, because sometimes people are afraid to run. But when you have more options to run for office, and more folks that you can pick from, then you feel a little bit more comfortable. You realize that you're not the only person who's running. And so I just wanna just say that's why I support this bill, and I hope that you will support this bill as well. And I'm sorry, I just realized I didn't have my camera on. I want to have my camera on so you can know who I am. So I'm gonna do that. I'm a little nervous because this is the first time doing this, but I just really want you to know that I support ranked choice voting.
Thank you so much for being with us. And you did fine. Next, I have Evan Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I am Evan Brown. I am from Red Wing, and I currently am a Red Wing City Council member, second term, and former Charter Commission member. I am probably the cautionary tale that Representative Elkins was referencing. I have been advocating for ranked choice, the ability to even ask the question, if our city wants to use ranked choice voting in Red Wing for over 12 years. And really, our conversation started before the Supreme Court decision in Minneapolis. And our city is small, and we conduct our elections on the even year with the ballot. And that, you know, the tension between the ability to be able to put a ranked choice race on the ballot with all the other races has prevented us for 12 years from even asking the question if ranked choice, if our residents even want ranked choice voting, because we have no method to be able to advance how we would run an election. And so it's that kind of tension where I felt like one city, you know, certain charter cities were able to implement this tool and everyone else was held out, kind of revealed to me the huge and glaring sort of inequity in the application of this tool. And it really led me to kind of look at how, you know, with that inequity, we needed to really empower all local jurisdictions to be able to utilize ranked choice voting. Because if it was good enough for one, it's good enough, you know, if it's good enough for this one set of cities, then it's really good enough for all of them, including counties and school districts. So, you know, I've been supporting the local options bills that Representative Elkins has forwarded year after year, and I continue to support those. And I really support the comprehensive nature of House File 89, and I support having the conversation this year and hopefully advancing it next year. So, but more specifically, what I really hope is that it's important to put into state statute and at the Secretary of State's offices standards and policies that are implemented consistently for all voters. That's the ultimate goal here, is that we want to make sure that all voters have the same experience, and this bill does that. And so, you know, as someone has hit the gate year after year after year trying to advance this issue in my city, I just urge us to create those standards, because that's what's fair for everybody. And with that, thank you, Madam Chair and committee members.
Brooke Carlson, please.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. My name is Brooke Carlson. I am the council president for the Rochester City Council. I was elected in 2020. I was involved in this issue during my campaign, and I also lived in the city of Minneapolis when they started using ranked choice voting. The city of Rochester took a position on this issue prior to me being sworn into office. And as you can see from our materials, the city of Rochester passed a resolution in March 2020 supporting, I quote, removing regulatory barriers and giving all local jurisdictions in Minnesota the option to use ranked choice voting, and that this legislation be added as a priority in the Rochester legislative agenda until passed. I'm here today to speak in support of that local option portion of the bill that would allow cities to utilize a ranked choice local election system that would be implemented the same as other cities in the state if Rochester were to consider implementing ranked choice voting. The bill could provide the potential to have an informed and robust local conversation on this issue to see if this opportunity is right for Rochester. A statewide system across cities would ensure consistency and a statewide certification process for those cities that chose to use it. While ranked choice voting will require voter outreach and education to ensure it's used effectively, it's a way to increase equity and efficiency in our election process. The option would allow more time to build valuable community relationships, listen to constituents about their concerns, and minimize some of the polarization of politics now present, even in nonpartisan races. Ranked choice voting increases voter participation, saves costs of primaries in cities with odd year local elections, and reduces the influences of outside money in campaigns. I was excited to see the diversity in races across Rochester and Olmsted County, and believe this approach is potentially especially valuable for women and Black and Indigenous people of color to have a fair chance at winning. As a charter city, Rochester would need to undergo a process to amend our city charter in order to implement ranked choice voting. Passage of this bill would assist in our city in our own local process to consider a charter amendment by providing consistent standards for the administration of ranked choice voting in cities that choose to use it. I'm asking for your support for the bill, and thank you for your consideration. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Next, I have Zaylor Stout.
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair and representatives. My name is Zaylor Stout, resident of Minneapolis and former resident of St. Louis Park. We the people. Now, we've heard these words, these three words, so many times. The preamble of the United States Constitution. We the people. Now, for many elected officials, those words always included them, always, from the very establishment of our republic. However, for the rest of us, we have to remember, when was it did we actually get included in this phrase, we the people? Frederick Douglass famously said in May of 1865 that slavery is not abolished until the Black man has a ballot. Well, Black men gained the right to vote with the 15th Amendment in 1870. So our electoral process evolved. 50 years later, women acquired the right to vote with the 19th Amendment, where 8 million women showed up across the country to vote for the very first time. Our electoral process evolved. But as we all know, laws on the books mean nothing if the spirit of the law is not embodied and uplifted by the society at large. because even with the passage of constitutional amendments, challenges and hurdles were put in the way to prevent voters from being able to exercise their constitutional right to vote for generations. Many were famously known as Jim Crow laws, with literacy tests and poll taxes and gerrymandering. Then came the Civil Rights Act of 1964, 94 years after the passage of the 15th Amendment, codifying yet again the right for Blacks to be able to vote in this country. Why were we still fighting this fight from the Reconstruction era? I am part of the first post-segregation generation. So my parents drank from segregated water fountains. I did not. Yet we're still fighting today those same fights from the Civil Rights era. I'm the first in my family to attend college, the first to go to law school, become an attorney, the first to run for office when I ran for city council in St. Louis Park in 2017. Now, that was an important election because it was the last time that St. Louis Park would have a primary. The city council voted to scrap the primary process because of costs and low voter turnout. Well, guess what? Our election ended up being the second highest turnout primary in the city's history. And so even though I didn't make it past the primary, we had some important wins in regard to that because not long after, ranked choice voting was approved by the city council. And so our electoral process evolved. In the very next election, Nadia Muhammad, who came to this country at 10 years old as a refugee, got elected to city council. She's the first Muslim, first Somali, and youngest at 23 years old elected to the position. So would this have happened had our electoral process not evolved? Currently, there are over 253 bills restricting voter access in 43 states across the country. Let's be one of the first states, one of the few states that's actually looking to broaden voter access to all voters and increasing participation in the electoral process, minimizing political vitriol, and allowing voters to feel and believe that their voices are being heard. It's time for our electoral process to evolve yet again, and it's time to move this bill out of committee and onto the floor for a full vote on ranked choice voting. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Jean Massey.
Madam Chair, I think we want, Ms. Massey wants to wrap up. Is she the last testifier?
She is, unless Kim Nelson come in.
Madam Chair, Kim Nelson has still not come into the room.
That's fine. Okay. Thank you.
Jean.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jean Massey, and I serve as the Executive Director of Fair Vote Minnesota, a statewide nonpartisan organization that promotes electoral systems that are more competitive and representative. I have also served as an election judge for the past 9 years. I've spoken with thousands of Minnesotans about ranked choice voting over the past decade and how it can improve our elections. Empowering voters with more choice, eliminating spoiler dynamics, ensuring broad support for winning candidates, and making local elections more efficient and cost-effective, as you've heard from many of the testifiers so far. Given its success and popularity, it's not at all surprising that interest in ranked choice voting has expanded dramatically. Bloomington and Minnetonka adopted ranked choice voting this past November, and more local officials and voters from Rochester to Red Wing to Plymouth are reaching out to learn how to get the system adopted in their cities. But current law simply won't let them. Representative Steve Elkin's bill would allow local jurisdictions to adopt ranked choice voting if they wished and would implement the system in primary and general elections for state and federal offices as well. And voters couldn't be more excited by this opportunity. We've been documenting the experience of Minnesota voters using ranked choice ballots since 2009 when Minneapolis began to use it. And our data shows that ranked choice voting has been a tremendous success. More than 454,000 ranked choice ballots have been cast. Voter participation has increased significantly. Voters consistently and overwhelmingly say that ranked choice voting is easy to use and that they like it and prefer it over the old system. No matter what you might hear from opponents, that data is very clear. In the past two competitive mayoral elections, nearly 90% of voters ranked their ballots. And there was a nearly 100% valid ballot rate. Voters know what they're doing with ranked choice voting. And the benefits of ranked choice voting are not theoretical. They are concrete and practical. We saw the spoiler effect and the decisive impact have a decisive impact in the 2020 elections. and given its impact, you can expect to see that play out to a greater extent in future elections. Ranked choice voting is the only reform that eliminates the spoiler problem by allowing voters to express their true preference, knowing their second choice can count if their first choice doesn't have enough support. Ranked choice voting simply ensures that the will of the majority prevails. It's also the reform that can put the biggest dent in the division and polarization and disinformation that is undermining our democracy. It is incumbent on all of us as voters and state leaders to take positive, concrete steps to respond. We cannot stand idly by and hope for the best. Our polarization is only getting worse, and ranked choice voting is perfectly suited to meet this problem at this moment. Ranked choice voting counteracts polarization and the us versus them mentality and encourages candidates to focus on the issues that matter to the majority of Minnesotans. Minnesota has always been a leader in democracy reform, and now is the time for the North Star state to shine again. As you heard this morning, Minnesota voters are ready for a system that works for them, for all of us, and they're asking you to lead our state forward. I urge you to vote yes on House File 89, pass it out of committee, and advance this important reform that holds so much potential to strengthen our democracy when we need it most. Thank you, Madam Chair, for this opportunity, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Has Kim Brown come in? I'm not seeing her at this point.
Madam Chair, so, no, she's not in the room.
Okay. Is there anybody else that wants to testify at this time? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone, so we will move into questions from members, and I'll take Representative Elkins and then Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know that Aaron Grossman, who was in part of Elections Administration in Minneapolis, is present to answer questions, and I'd just like to pose the question to him. Can you, if they can describe how well it's working in the Minneapolis elections.
Okay.
Good morning. Okay. Good morning, Madam Chair and Representative Elkins. I'm Aaron Grossman, a supervisor of election administration with the City of Minneapolis. And Minneapolis has conducted four distinct ranked choice voting events, so the municipal elections in 2009, 13, and 17, and then a special ranked choice voting election for a city council member last year, which was combined with the state primary ballot in August. After each ranked choice voting election, we've conducted a survey of voters, non-voters, candidates, and election judges to gauge the attitudes and perceptions of ranked choice voting. In those surveys, we've consistently found that the vast majority, you know, around 9 out of 10 voters find ranked choice voting to be simple, and easy to use. Consistently around 2/3 would like to see ranked choice voting continue into future elections. And 3/4 of voters report that they're confident or very confident about how votes are tabulated. So we're really, really happy to see that here in Minneapolis. And it's been a big part of our outreach and voter engagement work in order to make sure that people are comfortable and know what to do as they continue to encounter ranked choice voting elections.
Thank you. And you'll stay for additional questions?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a couple concerns. I understand the merits of this ranked choice idea, especially on a local level. I know that in a small city council, this idea definitely has merits, whereas, you know, I think we currently do kind of a reverse ranked choice voting on the city council level. So an example, my town last election had 5 individuals up on the ballot, and there was one person that they very much wanted to get into the city council. And so the idea was, if you just vote for one, even though you can vote for two, then we'll ensure that the one gets there. And then the ones that we don't, you know, we don't mind if the other people get in, but we want that one person. So that's a form of ranked choice voting. It was just the reverse rank that we currently utilize as a strategy. My one concern is, well, I guess you go to a restaurant and you sit down and you say, hey, I would really like this meal. And they tell you, well, sorry, we don't have that currently. And you say, okay, that's fine. I'd like this one instead. And if they tell you again, well, we don't have that, how many times are you going to go before you say, hey,
know, I'm just going to go somewhere else and find a meal. My grandpa kind of told me a long time ago, he says, sometimes you just vote for the least smelly candidate, which is kind of a sad thing. And so there are some merits. There are some concerns. My one major concern on a statewide level, why I would be really wary of losing the primary, is what we see is the people who vote in primaries are people who are absolutely involved in the political process and are devoted to ensuring that the candidate that makes it through the primary is the best candidate possible for the position. For example, I had a primary that I was running against, and I was just I didn't realize at the time how big of an underdog I truly was, because I was just this small town mayor. I was from a town of 663 people, and I was up against an individual who was from the big city, and where I come from, a big city is about 10,600 people. And he had a big name. He's a good human being. I'm not going to say, I went on my campaign saying, I'm Bjorn Olsen, the teacher, farmer, soldier, mayor, father, and husband. And if you think I can do the job, then vote for me. I didn't say anything bad about this individual. He had a very good, nice, clean name. People knew him. He was a popular guy. And in this ranked choice voting scenario, I think that he might have won due to the fact that he was the well-known individual, even though I believe that I was the more qualified human being for the job, having experience in those categories that he didn't have the experience in. So that would be my one major concern. I made it through the primary with, it was 58% of the vote. Because those people knew who they were voting for, they said, we investigated these candidates, we knew who we wanted, because this means something to us. And I'm not saying that when people go and vote, they just do it as a social gathering, because I know that's not the case. But when people vote in November, generally speaking, they're voting for a very high level of office. They know who they're going to vote for on the top. This would provide a reason for them to go and investigate who they're going to vote for at the bottom of the ticket. But my concern would be that they wouldn't devote entirely as much effort as the primary voters did. So I agree this definitely has some merits. It has some concerns as well. And I know that we would just adapt our strategy. If this were to pass, I know that candidates would have to adapt their strategy as in anything. But I just wanted to make sure that my concerns were heard at this committee today. Thank you so much, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Elkins.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to go back to Mr. Grossman for just one second, if he's still on.
Mr. Grossman?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Parents.
Can you talk to, how, the codification of ranked choice voting and the performance of a rulemaking to standardize things by the Secretary of State would make your job easier in future ranked choice of elections?
Sure. Madam Chair, through Representative Elkins. Can you hear me
here? Mr. Grossman, proceed. Yep.
Thank you. Thanks for the question. Minneapolis voters adopted ranked choice voting in 2006, and the first election was held in 2009, as I mentioned. And since then, there's been different procedural updates and modifications that have passed through the ordinance process here in Minneapolis to make both the front end of voting, what voters see, how the ballot is designed, and then kind of on the back end, the tabulation process more efficient. So in 2009, Minneapolis conducted a hand count of all the ballots, and it took about 2 weeks to get through all the results. That process has been modified using the exportable data file, a cast vote record. And in 2017, we were able to have all the results complete within 24 hours from the polls close, which was obviously a big improvement for our process. But it is still difficult given the challenges with voting systems that we're trying to combine the voting systems that we have with the tabulation processes that our charter lays out in order to get everything done correctly. It's an undertaking that requires lots of training, lots of staff at a time right after Election Day when everybody has just worked quite a bit. So we would hope that a bill like this could institute some standards and guidelines that we could follow at the state level. And as you have seen in other jurisdictions, such as, or at least in Maine, there has been some interest from voting system vendors who would, you know, design a system that could be integrated with Minnesota's election laws, which does not currently exist. And so we're continuing to search for solutions to make it more efficient as we look towards our 2021 election later this year.
Thank you. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to thank the folks that came to testify today. You've been amazing advocates. I've gotten tons of mail on the issue and have been tuned into this since I got on City Council in Hopkins when our Charter Commission looked at it. At the time, unfortunately, the voting machines weren't set up to do multiple votes for multiple open seats. So they kind of set it aside. I was happy to see St. Louis Park do it. Been a long supporter of having municipalities get to choose for themselves beyond charter cities. To that point, I was just curious, though, just to have a conversation. Why do you think more cities haven't done it so far? At least the charter cities that have the capability to do it.
Yeah, is that
Representative Elkins? Did you want to?
I can answer that question, Madam Chair. Yeah. I think we, as we heard, for example, from the folks from Rochester, a lot, really, it's difficult, absent the changes in the law that this bill would address, for even charter cities that have their elections in even years, like Rochester and Red Wing, there's no guidance on how you would set up a ballot where you vote one way for like state offices, and a different way for the municipal election. So there's no guidance under state statute as to how to do that. And so as a practical matter, even cities like Red Wing and Rochester, where there's a high level of interest, it's just not practical under the current statutes, even though those are charter cities.
Madam Chair?
Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Elkins, I understand the even year. I'm just wondering why more of the odd year ones that wouldn't have that issue haven't jumped on board. Is there anything we can do to help with that? I know Fair Vote's done a great job with the education piece. I'm just wondering why more of the odd cities haven't.
I think that might be good.
Representative Elkins.
Madam Chair, for Ms. Massey to answer, because I know that she's been, you know, helping organize campaigns in other cities. I know, Jeannie, do you have an answer for that one?
Sure,
Representative.
Madam Chair, do you want me to answer that? Okay.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Representative Joaquin. The simple answer there is that there aren't that many cities now that actually have elections in odd years that are also charter cities. So there may be one additional one or two in the metropolitan area. Most of the cities who have charters or that have charters are those that hold elections in even years and are encumbered by the administrative barriers that Representative Elkins outlined. So the benefit of the bill is to clear those barriers up and allow those cities to also to use ranked choice voting.
Representative Joaquin.
Thank you. That helps.
Okay. And I see Representative Bolden.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just wanted to also thank Representative Elkins for bringing this bill forward and for all the testifiers today. This has been a great conversation. In my view, I view this as both a democracy issue and an equity issue. I think in a time when it is really important for us to be protecting and strengthening our democracy, this is a great way to do that. And also as an equity issue, as was discussed here today, this is a way to bring more voices into the process. And that is exactly what we should be doing. We should be expanding our democracy, and this puts the power in the hands of the voters, in the hands of people, which is exactly where it should be. Just wanted to share a bit of my perspective in contrast to maybe some of the other comments in terms of maybe this encouraging people to vote for, the least smelly candidates. I actually view that differently. And in conversations with voters, I have heard that is, you know, what happens currently, that people say, you know, oh, I really want to vote for this candidate, but I'm not sure that she can win, or I'm not sure that he is, you know, electable. And so I'm going to vote for the safer candidate who I am sort of behind, but, you know, I think has more likelihood to win. That is unfortunate. This ranked choice voting allows people to vote to rank their choices, and they can put their first choice for who they really are behind, who they really want to win. And then their second choice can be that safer candidate that they're still okay with, but it allows them to put their, you know, support behind the candidate that they really want to vote for without worrying about their vote being wasted. And secondly, just in terms of, you know, the concept of, you know, in primaries, having folks be, you know, well-connected or very informed, you know, people making those decisions. I also view that differently to where I think it is beneficial to, again, bring more people into that process. And having, you know, candidates have to earn the, you know, that broad support. Whereas as a candidate, you know, if I don't make it as your first choice, I certainly want to work to be your second choice. And so for a variety of reasons, I am very supportive of this bill and look forward to, you know, being able to vote for it and move it forward and supporting. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from members? I am not seeing any. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, frankly, the analogy with the restaurant, you know, after five or six times, I think a lot of us might just, okay, just bring me anything. And the concern is, as has been shown in, yes, Representative Elkins, that was meant to ingest a little bit of humor, but it's also meant to, you know, illuminate where there have been issues in Minnesota where dozens of people have run and multiple churns and choices. And, you know, there is the issue of you get to the third or fourth. Generally, the informed electorate probably isn't putting more than a second or third choice. And there's nothing I see in this bill that would prevent the degradation of quantity of votes that it, once you get to the lower ranking votes that would be dropping out. I mean, Minneapolis was a good example of where even at the end of, I think, dozens of rounds of going down, you didn't end up with a majority. It was a plurality, and that you ended up with a substantial portion of the votes that weren't counted anymore because, you know, frankly, if you don't know or don't have a third or fourth choice, then, you know, are you disenfranchised? You know, there's that debate, which I haven't heard here. I also, one of the testifiers that was pushing that we need this so that Rochester can, well, my understanding is Rochester as a charter city does have availability of this option. And there has been debate. And if I recall, the majority of the discussion was from pro-ranked choice until it got closer and enough people took time from their lives to get involved to bring up concerns. And I think we're seeing a good example of that today of where we have a plethora of people that are pushing for it, several who aren't in Minnesota that testified, but there wasn't, I mean, the chamber has a letter, there are letters of opposition, but frankly, I don't think it's seen as a mature enough proposal to activate, I think, the silent majority that find some of this problematic. And I just wanted to make sure that it was stated, you know, this is being heard informationally, but I don't want people to feel, oh, this is overwhelmingly popular, supported, et cetera, just because we have so many people testifying for it. when evidence was, especially in Rochester, that once it became visible and a possibility, people stepped up and they spoke. And Rochester hasn't changed their charter. I think there are issues, and I think that this might be more applicable to smaller cities where you're not going to have three dozen people as candidates, and you're not going to have some of the issues that we have seen in Minneapolis and other cities. So I enjoy the testimony, the debate, the information. And if this was a court, I would obviously agree that this is not a ripe topic yet. But I thank the chair for allowing this opportunity for more discussion, more information. And thank the author for being, this year's standard bearer for this discussion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Elkins, did you want a response?
Yes, Madam Chair. And then I'd also like to address the excellent comments from Mayor, now Representative Olson, as well, because the points they raise are, major points of discussion in all of this. So when Representative Olson was talking about the election in which there were multiple candidates, and so everyone was urged to just vote for one, just to make sure we get the one best candidate, the candidate we really want elected, that's the process known as bullet balloting. And ranked choice voting is, eliminates the need to do that kind of a thing. And that's why it's so so popular among school boards, as we heard in the testimony from Ms. Bouchard about the experience with the Hopkins School District, frequently, fringe interest groups will bullet ballot to get one particular candidate they want onto a school board who really doesn't represent mainstream views, and it creates problems. Ranked choice voting obviates the need, obviates the use of bullet balloting as a strategy. In terms of primary elections, this doesn't, bind political parties. Political parties are allowed to have the authority under the Constitution to organize their affairs however they want. So it does not necessarily have to be adopted in a political primary if that party doesn't want to do it. But I would point to the example that we had in the Democratic—
Representative Elkins, you're fading in and out.
Okay. The Democratic presidential primary last one, we had the situation where right before our primary, but after many of us had cast our ballots in that Minnesota primary election, where many of the candidates that had already been voted for had dropped out of the race at the last minute. And their votes really were wasted because they'd cast their votes for a candidate who had dropped out. Whereas if that Democratic primary had been conducted using ranked choice voting, you could have, say, voted for Amy Klobuchar as your first choice and Joe Biden as your second choice, and your vote wouldn't have been wasted if we had used ranked choice voting. And just in terms of primaries, the term primary has become a verb because we've seen that in political primaries, and frequently it's the case that it's not necessarily the most qualified candidate who gets elected in those primary elections. It's the most zealous, from the fringes of the right or the left that gets through the primary. And I can say the concern in Bloomington, one of the reasons why Bloomington decided to elect it is our primaries in odd years, typically attract only maybe 5% of the voters. And so we have an entire field of candidates being winnowed out by a tiny slice of the electorate. And there's huge concerns in Bloomington that this could end up with an anomalous situation where
a fringe candidate, gets through a primary and onto the general election, who really isn't representative of the views of the residents of the city as a whole. And in terms of the chamber's opposition, I read the chamber's letter. I had a chance to speak with John Reynolds from the Minnesota chamber yesterday about their concerns. And if you read their letter, they're expressing concerns about ballot exhaustion, which Representative Plum was also raised as an issue. And the thing is that the problems that are raised in the chamber's letter are problems that this bill actually addresses. So it's almost more of an argument for why we need this bill, because all of the problems that are described in the chamber's letter are problems that are caused by us not having standardized procedures for conducting these elections. And in terms of ballot exhaustion, right now Bloomington is putting in place their procedures for this fall's election, which will be their first under ranked choice voting. And they're looking at having a ballot that allows at least six choices. Once we have the layout of the ballot the set and standards under which these the counting can be done as part of a single seamless automated process, there's really no limit on how many candidate or choices could be allowed, and the problem of that ballot exhaustion would largely go away. I mean, one of the biggest benefits of this is the standardization, the ability of the Secretary of State's office to certify equipment and voting algorithms to completely and seamlessly automate the process would be one of the huge benefits of passing this bill. So we can, Madam Chair, we can count that as my wrap up.
I was going to ask that. Thank you. Mr. Grossman, I have a question. How many spaces do you allow for the candidates on a ballot? I mean, we know that, that year where you had like about 30 candidates for mayor. How many people were actually, how many spaces were available for people to vote?
Thank you, Madam Chair, for your question. The Minneapolis ballot has three columns, so the candidate names are listed three times, one for each ranking. So yes, the 2013 mayoral race that had, it was 35 candidates, did take up a lot of ballot real estate along with the other races on our municipal ballot, city council, board of estimate and taxation, and park board. So it was able to fit on the one ballot front and back, and all the candidate names are listed three times there. As Representative Elkins mentioned, it is a challenge with some of the ballot design and what's able to be integrated with our vendor and then some of the options. And there's different designs available in other jurisdictions that you may be familiar with. I do know that St. Paul typically uses up to six rankings given the size and layout of their ballot that they have available to them.
Thank you. Are there any last questions? I am not seeing any. And I do want to thank everybody that came to testify today. And again, somebody had mentioned we have a number of people that wrote in their testimonies, so I would encourage people to look at all the documents as well. And in seeing no more questions, House File 89 is laid over, and we are adjourned.